time for Microbrew Milwaukee Brewers Chatter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And look who I found. It's the Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Todd Rosiak. Todd, you're Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. How cool is that, my man?
I had to pay off a lot of people for that award, but thank you for the kind words. Honestly, very humbling. Very humbled, very honored. Took a lot of hard work, of course, but I really appreciate all my colleagues, votes of confidence in me. And so pretty cool. Hadrecourt set the bar high. I think he had four or five. I went down to visit him in January, and he showed me the shelf that he has them all lined up on. And I'm like, okay, I have one now. So that's good.
So what you're saying is you told our friend Tom Hadrecourt, and he was not impressed. He's like, that's great. Okay, here's the other four that I won.
I know you're kidding. He was very gracious and very happy for me. So I can honestly say that I would not have won without all of his help and guidance over the years. He was awesome in every way to work with and everything, and I learned a lot working alongside him. Never saw a guy work harder than Tom. Just the work ethic alone was worthy of winning that award multiple times for him. And I've told other people this too, my writing, I feel like, it's okay. The reporting, I try my hardest, but I feel like, if nothing else, it's my work ethic that, and the amount of effort I put in that, I don't know if separates me is the right term, but that I'm most proud of, I guess, probably is the best way to put it.
Cool. Well, we're very excited for you, and you've been efforting down in Arizona here for the last several weeks at this point, watching this Milwaukee Brewers team as it gets prepared for the 2024 season. Our colleague Kurt Hoag will be swapping places with you this next week, midway through the week. So you guys are going to tag team out at this point. But wanted to get your sense of what we've seen so far. There's obviously the caveat is the same every year. Any sample you get from spring training isn't real. Doesn't necessarily apply to what's going to happen. I looked up last year's stats. Mike Brasso had an incredible spring training last year. 6 homers, led the team in RBIs. He had an unbelievable OPS. And then, unfortunately, Mike Brasso ended up playing in Japan by the time I think June rolled around. I'm not sure of that. But there's just one example of many. You're getting, at this point of this preseason, very, very minuscule samples to work with. But I am going to see if you've got any takeaways here. I'm going to start with the pitching staff. Wade Miley, it sounds like we're not quite sure what the short-term future is for Wade Miley. He seems to be a little, there's some mystery as to when he's going to make it out to the mound. He does seem to be pushed back a little bit. We saw Aaron Ashby, his first performance of the year. It wasn't great. It's a teeny tiny sample, but Aaron Ashby's a big question mark coming off of shoulder issues and didn't throw well at the end of the year when he was able to make it back to a mound in the rehab starts. So I'm wondering what you think of this rotation right now. You saw Freddie Peralta on Sunday for the first time. Does it feel like there's a lot of holes, or does it feel like they have so many options at this point that they are going to be able to patch things together? I'd be really curious what you think of the pitching staff so far.
I mean, right now, to me, if you take Wade Miley out of the equation, and it looks like, if I had a guess, I would say he's not going to be ready for the start of the regular season. If you take him out of the picture, to me, it's Freddie Peralta, DL Hall, probably Joe Ross, and then from there, kind of up in the air, Colin Ray, Jacob Junis, I think would be other, safe candidates, kind of toward the back end of the rotation there. I think the young guys are still a little bit further off. There's still a lot to be told here in the last 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks. Guys can take steps forward. There very well could be more injuries. But if nothing else, I think the Brewers feel relatively confident in the numbers that they have, the mix that they have between veterans and prospects, the mix that they have between lefties and righties. And I think they feel really good about Freddie becoming the new de facto ace. We talked to him for quite a while after the start Sunday here in Phoenix. It was in Scottsdale, and he's excited about the prospect of being, you know, kind of the guy. He talked it down a little bit. He's not really, you know, considering himself the ace, but he's encouraged by the year that he put together last year, not missing any time due to injury, you know, logging career highs in pretty much every other major category. And, you know, being able to take the ball every fifth day out is an important, obviously an important part of you know, being a reliable starter. Say what you will about Corbin Burns the last couple years, the previous couple years, but the guy did take the ball every single time they handed it to him for 3 years running, and there's a lot of value in that. So in the final analysis, I think we're going to see, you know, way more than 6-7 starters start games for the Brewers this year. I think Pat Murphy is going to be very creative. He's got a tremendous bullpen that he can utilize in a number of different ways. He's got guys who can give him length. He's got more lefty-righty options. You know, they have a number of guys that have minor league options available, and as we've all seen over the past X number of years, they're gonna use those guys with options very liberally. They're going to be bouncing back and forth from between Milwaukee and Nashville on that shuttle. So it's going to be done a different way. It's not going to be that, you know, that those three guys that you can count, those three horses at the start of the rotation. It's going to be kind of patchwork and mishmash. But, you know, you can make up for that, I think, again, with the bullpen. You know, assuming Gary Sanchez is going to be healthy and ready to go by the start of the regular season, this is going to be a much stronger lineup and much more imposing lineup from top to bottom. So you can win games that way. And then the defense is always going to be there as well. You know, they certainly have not taken a step back in that area of the game. So they're going to have to figure out different ways to win, but I think it's still possible.
You mentioned DL Hall right at the start there as a guy who's going to get a really good shot at this rotation. What do you know about him? He was a little bit of a wild card in this trade, given wasn't sure if he was a reliever or a starter. High prospect ceiling, but some control issues. And again, you haven't seen much of him. But what do people think of him? What's sort of the buzz around that guy?
Well, I'll let the cat out of the bag. I'm working on the off day story already for Monday on DL Hall, and I spoke to Chris Hook the other day about DL at length, and Chris is not prone to throwing superlatives around and being really effusive in praise. You know, he's pretty measured in his praise for guys. Literally the first word out of his mouth was electric when I asked him to describe DL Hall. So they love his stuff. They love his makeup. They love his competitiveness. And, you know, this is a guy that has felt like he's starter material the last few years in Baltimore, but between injuries and just the depth that the Orioles now have with their pitching, was forced to fill a role in the bullpen and did it pretty well. Last year with Baltimore, he spent several months in the minor leagues after a back injury, kind of strengthening his back and trying to get back into shape for the stretch run. And he was able to get back and was a very effective arm out of the bullpen for them. But, you know, I don't think there's any question that both he and the Brewers see him as a starter this year immediately right out of the gates, and a guy that, you know, if he can stay healthy, can be a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, the question right now, I think, is going to be if he is healthy. You know, this is a guy that has not carried a huge innings load the last few years, so I certainly think the Brewers are going to be cautious with him, especially early, as far as what they're able to put on his shoulders. But if you look at him over the long term and kind of project him over the long term, you know, this is a future stud in the making. And if he can dial in that command and utilize his stuff the way he is able to, you know, this is going to be an interesting trade to look back on in a couple of years and see. You know, everybody loves to do that, who won the trade. This is going to be an interesting one to look back on and see who actually did win it.
Yeah, we've got a little ways to go, but certainly DL Hall and Joey Ortiz, who hit a mammoth home run a couple spring games ago, will be under the spotlight. And Ortiz is interesting to me because of third base, and we'll talk more about the other kids, Jackson Churia. We'll talk about them too, but third base is a wide open space to me. I still was holding out hope that the Brewers might actually get a short-term deal for Matt Chapman, who was on the open market right up until a couple days ago when the Giants finally signed him. I didn't think that was likely to happen necessarily, but it is unclear to me who ends up being that third baseman. They've got options. They've got Andrew Monasterio. They've got Owen Miller, Tyler Black, who you've written about at jsonline.com. Ortiz, I think, is the front runner, but I'll let you tell me differently. I don't know. I don't know who's going to be the guy that gets the bulk of starts over the course of the season. I'm guessing they don't know either, but who has the leg up in that competition?
Well, it's interesting to note right now that Joey Ortiz hasn't played an inning of third base yet this spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that he's not going to. I think they're using the early games here to take a look at some other guys and kind of cycle guys through. It's interesting. I mean, it could be a platoon situation. You know, I'm sure we'll see more than one guy cycle through there over the course of the season. Working against guys like Monasterio and Owen Miller is the fact that those guys have minor league options. It's tough, you know, especially when they both produced at the major league level to varying degrees. I do know that the Brewers really like Christian Arroyo. I know Pat Murphy really likes Christian Arroyo. He does not have any options left. He's a non-roster guy, so they'd have to make space for him on the 40-man. But what he brings to the table in terms of he's a veteran, he's produced some offensively, he's got a little bit of pop on his bat, he can swing over and play some first base if need be, maybe even DH very occasionally. That's a name that I definitely would not discount at this point. It remains to be seen. Tyler Black, he's played very little at third base to this point. Again, I think you might see that later in camp, but they're really pressing him at first base right now and really trying to get him to see what he can do over there. And for the most part, he's acquitted himself well at both positions. I wrote about that today, a pretty lengthy story on Tyler with some great quotes from the man, Rick Sweet. He's actually surprised me, Tyler Black, in terms of what he's been able to do. He made some nice plays on the move. He's got a good throwing arm, it looks like, pretty accurate. And he's just a competitor. So they have options there. In the final analysis, I think it's just going to be another year kind of let's just get through it and then hope 2025 Brock Wilkin just seizes the reins and takes over from there because, the guy definitely passed. This is the eyeball test. He's not looked overmatched in the least in the games that he's played so far this spring. He looks, you just look at him, there's no way in heck you would think that this is the guy that's in his first major league camp. He looks like he's in about his fifth or sixth major league season, to be honest. Certainly there's refinement that's going to be needed both in the field and at the plate, but he's a guy that, you know, sky's the limit for him. And you know, people are always talking about comps and, you know, we always ask coaches about comps and all that stuff. I'm going to throw a comp out there. To me, size-wise and just offensively, best case scenario and just kind of the way he moves and everything, I'm going to throw out the name Troy Gloss.
Mm.
I think
we take that.
Please this punch if they had Troy Gloss at the third base for the next 8 to 10 years. So, a lot of pressure to put on the kid, but he looks like he could be really good.
Yeah, I didn't even mention the two most exciting options. That's Sal Frelick, who started taking some reps at third base at the start of camp. And Wilkin, like you said, who you even asked Pat Murphy directly. Wilkin's been hitting so well. You were like, is there any way he's your starting third baseman on opening day 2024? And he said no. So that's what we'd expect.
I mean, I'll put that out there. It was very tongue-in-cheek the way I asked it, and I knew what the answer was going to be, but I thought it would make for kind of a funny, you know, funny clip to throw up on Twitter, and it did get some good reaction. So I like Brock's reaction better, actually, when I asked him, and he really, if you saw the video, he really laughed about it. Very humble kid. And not to gloss over the Sal Frelick thing. That's been very interesting in spring training, the fact that they were, you know, willing and able to do it. And Sal has not looked super out of place over there. Is he going to, you know, start games at third base for the Milwaukee Brewers in the regular season? I highly, highly doubt it. They're looking at him right now as just, can he do it? Would we be able to move him over there in a, you know, late game situation where we're moving pieces around the field, and could he get us through a few innings? I think that, like, best case scenario is probably what they're expecting and what they're hoping for. Is he going to start 10 games at third base? Absolutely not, in my opinion.
Mm, yeah. I have loved Brock Wilkins since he came to take batting practice for the Brewers last year when he, I think he was just headed up to Double-A. I don't remember where he ended the season, but he looked Biloxi. He looked completely comfortable, mashing homers. Great interview. I think there's definitely some promise there, and I think he's going to be here very, very soon. I don't know if that's at any point in 2024, but honestly, it would not surprise me if it's at some point later this season. I feel like if he keeps tearing it up like he did last year in the minors.
Yeah, maybe, the scenario could be, you know, maybe they throw Arroyo out at third base, they throw Monasterio out there, Tyler Black. None of those guys really gains any traction. Owen Miller and Brock Wilkin, you know, crushes Double-A. They move him up to Triple-A, and he's holding his own there. Who knows? Maybe then they give him an opportunity. But, you know, I think that's down the line. You know, we're talking – you know, late first half or something like that, maybe early second half, but it's fun to talk about. I will say, just in general, this has been really, so this is my, 14th year on the beat. And just thinking back, this is easily the most interesting and the most entertaining camp I've ever covered, as far as just all the prospects, all the top shelf prospects. You know, they have 7 of the top 10 guys in the Journal Sentinel top 10 prospect list in camp. And we've seen the others too. Luis Lara, Yafri Rodriguez, those guys, it's been fun to watch. I mean, even, you know, Cooper Pratt wasn't in our top 10, but to see him in uniform a couple games and get an at bat, it's been fun to see. And it's, you know, you can look at these lists and you can read what people say, but until you see them with your own eyes and you see them out on the field and you see what they look like and how they move around and everything, it doesn't really hit the same, you know? And then just watching these guys, it's been really remarkable and eye-opening. And I can see why people are excited for the future of the Brewers, because there's some really, really talented players that are coming through the pipeline, either just getting ready to be spit out or, you know, kind of at the start and moving their way through.
Yeah. Jefferson Caro hit a home run on Sunday. He has not been overmatched and looks like he could be the future at the catching position, just based on what he's done in the minors, not necessarily what he's done here in spring training, but he's obviously a guy that a lot of people are watching. The guy everyone is watching is Jackson Churio, the outfielder, hitting 200. I mean, he's not tearing it up. Like, it's going to be an adjustment. Certainly. I think everyone expects that in spring when the season starts, if he's on the roster, which I still fully expect he will be, but I did want to check in on that. Is if you feel like that is still the likely scenario here where he would play, I assume center field. I don't imagine he'd be here to play somewhere else, but I don't know. What are the vibes on Jackson Churio, and what have you seen from him so far?
I mean, all the reports, you know, the coaches we talk to and everything, they're happy with what he's done. I mean, are the numbers there? No. But, again, we're still early in camp. I'll be very interested to see what he does once, you know, the Brewers start seeing regular major league pitching as we get deeper into the Cactus League schedule. You know, right now a lot of his at-bats are coming against – guys that probably aren't going to be in the majors, or like 4A kind of pitchers, those kind of guys. But I mean, today was very impressive, you know, doubles off of Eduardo Rodriguez right out of the chute. His second at bat, that would have been a base hit if there hadn't been a guy on first base and Perdomo hadn't been able to range over and flip the ball to second. You know, he's had a couple hiccups in the outfield, but you can see, you know, looks very natural out there, is definitely, you know, is holding his own. You know, by all accounts, every time we've asked Pat Murphy about him, he's been very effusive in his praise for him. So it's just going to be a continued maturation process, I think, over the next couple of weeks. And we'll see where he is as time goes on. I think it's going to be a very interesting kind of conundrum once it gets down to time where they're going to have to cut down the roster one final time. You know, you've got other guys, another guy who I think is really on the bubble squarely at this point is Joey Weimer. You know, he's trying to enact a pretty big, serious, pretty serious change in his setup at the plate. And, you know, the results have not come through to this point. You know, he might need a series of at-bats or, you know, a few weeks at the very least at Nashville to kind of work some of the kinks out and get more comfortable at the plate. I certainly can see a scenario where they don't open the season with Jack Centurio on the roster. And if that happens, I don't think there's any shame in that. I don't think anybody should be, you know, clutching their pearls or wailing or gnashing their teeth or anything like that. The kid's 20 years old, you know, like, again, we have to keep reminding ourselves he's never faced major league pitching on a regular basis. He's never gone through this before. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be very ugly periods for this guy as he continues to mature and develop. But the Brewers are supremely confident that he has the makeup mentally, physically to be able to endure these ups and downs and come out better for it on the other side. And ultimately his talent will win out. So it's just, you know, I think it's going to continue to be up and down, up and down. We'll see where the numbers are and how everybody feels at the end of camp. But to this point, I would say he's acquitted himself pretty well.
I'll be interested with the compensation that they could get as a draft pick if they have him on the opening day roster. And it's not, again, it's not just opening day. There's a window early in the season. I don't remember exactly what it is, a couple weeks, where if he's up at that point, they could get compensation if he wins Rookie of the Year. For having a top prospect on the roster. I feel like that's going to be too tantalizing, but if they feel like he's just not ready, they're going to give him as much time as they can in the minors before that deadline hits to try and make sure that he's fully ready to go. Cause they've got all these other young guys, you know, like they got to get them reps too. And you don't want to you don't want to shut the door on one possibility with as many guys as they have still developing. If Jack Centurio isn't going to be ready and set to go, I haven't asked you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think that the Brewers are so dead set focused as they should be on setting him up for as much success as possible. However, whatever way that, you know, that whatever direction that is, I think that's what they're intent on doing. And that's absolutely the right way to go about it, in my opinion. So yeah, sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine. We haven't talked about Pat Murphy. He's been kind of the star of camp, new manager, of course. He's a very funny guy. We knew that would be the case. And he is definitely he's definitely delivered some gem one-liners, some nicknames, riding around on a Brewers scooter. He's definitely a different energy than what we had with Craig Counsell for all those years since 2015, but start of the 2016 season full time. Give me a sense of the Pat Murphy experience. I'm guessing players are pretty comfortable. I'm guessing it's pretty loose. And I'm guessing you feel like he's going to handle this pretty well, but I'm curious what your impressions are of him as the guy in the big chair.
Yeah. Well, I've yet to hear a bad word from any player. You know, he definitely is keeping things loose. The nickname thing is funny. I've already bestowed one nickname that made it up on the board. I am the proud creator of the Bernie Brewer Hicklin nickname. We were just sitting in his office one day and I asked about Brewer Hicklin, and he said, "Yeah, Hicklin, Brewer, we don't have a nickname for him yet." I just said, "Brewer, or Bernie." He's like, "That's a good one. Put it up on the board." So then Sophia wrote it up on the board. So that's been fun. You know, the Rudy thing was fun. It's definitely been very interesting, very different from Craig Counsell, very different from what I expected Pat Murphy to be. You know, just in the little snippets and the conversations over the years that we had with him as bench coach, you know, you got a sense of his personality and, you know, his goofiness and everything. But I feel like that's just kind of, it's only part of who he is. I think down deep, and he's made, you know, he's made comments about it throughout the spring that, you know, he really is humbled and honored to have this job and have this opportunity. And I can tell that he really enjoys being in the chair and being the, you know, quote unquote, the man, and not in a, in an egotistical sort of way, but I think that, you know, he's relishing this opportunity, and he's going to do everything that he can in his power to make sure that it goes well for the Brewers and for him. You know, he's been tremendously media friendly. You know, we do these morning briefings with him every morning, and they've routinely been running 30 minutes or more, which is very long. I mean, that's probably, you know, twice as long as most council sessions would go. You know, now granted, is all of it serious baseball talk? No, but that's just Murph, you know, like he veers off course, you know, there's some tangential conversations and, you know, goofy type stuff, but he's a baseball guy. He loves talking baseball. And the other thing that comes through is he has a fierce belief in all his guys. You know, like he's realistic and he'll be honest with you, but you can tell that he really, really cares for and believes in all his guys. And that comes through in all of his everything that he tells us. And that goes from Christian Yelich all the way down to Luis Lara, you know, a guy who he's seen play, you know, four times or whatever, five times in games in very short snippets. He'll latch onto something that he really likes about a guy, and that defines him, you know? So it's really been different. It's been eye-opening, but it's also been good, and it's also been fun. There'll be ups and there'll be downs during the season. They're going to go through rough patches. I'm sure he's going to, you know, have times where he's cranky and not happy, and he's going to let it out on us and, you know, that sort of thing. But that's just the nature of the beast when you're in the midst of a baseball season, and you know, we'll deal with that when the time comes, but so far so good as far as I'm concerned.
We're still really early in camp, so if we're talking about roster decisions or anything that's looming, it's always pretty dicey. And you've kind of answered this question about whether or not there will be any surprises, something that we might not be thinking about right now. You've answered it in suggesting Christian Arroyo maybe is an option for them, you know, as a guy who could make the roster that they're high on, or that Joey Weimer maybe starts the year in AAA just as a way to get him going with the new batting approach. I brought up Bryce Terang to Kurt when I kind of asked this question last year, because Bryce Terang, I don't think we were thinking about as the starting second baseman until very late in camp, when all of a sudden it was pretty clear that was going to be their guy. Anything you got any inclination as to something else, or you know, maybe those are the moves, but something else that might catch us off guard, whether it's somebody who makes this team or somebody who doesn't make this team?
Besides Arroyo, I think the other guy that to me that the Brewers are really like, and the fact that he's out of options as well, really helps his cause in this case, is Jake Bowers.
And
you know, left-handed bat, they obviously traded for him, and they like his power, they like his left-handed bat, they like the fact that he can play first base, a little bit of outfield, he can DH. I think that he's, you know, ultimately is going to be a, you know, kind of a left-handed bat off the bench to start, and, you know, get an occasional start here or there. So that would be a name that I would kind of right now pencil in. I'll throw a dark horse out there, a guy that we haven't mentioned yet. And again, caveats, still a lot of games to be played. Oliver Dunn, you know, Pat Murphy has talked about him a few times, and again, you know, said, you know, this is a guy that's going to play in the majors for us this year. And I like his skill set. You know, he's a guy that can play second, can play third, left-handed hitter. He looks like a really pesky guy. He's got a little bit of pop to him. I love the quote that he gave me when I wrote about him last week. He plays like his hair is on fire, probably is a good way to describe it. And this is a guy that really came out of nowhere. This last season had a great year in AAA, and then went to the Fall League and crushed it there as well, and really got himself on the radar. And it was facing a roster crunch, and Philly was facing a roster crunch. They couldn't get him on the 40 man there. So Brewers were able to swing a trade for him and pick him up. And, you know, even if he doesn't make the opening day roster, I would think that he'll be in the mix for one of those infield spots if a need arises.
Sadly, you and I will never know what it's like to have our hair on fire. Never again. It's tough.
Yes.
Most projection systems will tell you this Brewers team is threatening to be a 500 team, maybe a little bit below 500 even. This despite the fact that they won 92 games last year. Their pitching is definitely not what it was. Obviously, you drop Burns and Woodruff, who's injured, back with the team but injured. That's, you know, it's going to be hard to match that to you know, accommodate for that, even with an upgraded offense like they have. What do you think about that? Do you think this team has taken a step back to the point that they are going to just be a 500 team? Do you still think that whatever magic, you know, alchemy they've had over the years where they can outperform these projections, they could maybe still have even without Craig Counsell, who I think was kind of given some of the credit for maximizing those wins and you know, getting every little marginal advantage? How do you feel about this team as a contender at this point?
It's tough to say. You know, like I think that where we talked about this before, where their shortcomings would seem to be right now, starting pitching, they've made up for it in the bullpen and with their offense. Maybe those two things, maybe the bullpen, the offense can counterbalance that, and they're going to be competitive again. I don't get much into those kind of projections and everything. Yeah, and I looked at, you know, this is a team that has kind of overachieved the last few years. Maybe I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm sure those of you who know me, like UJR, you might laugh at that, but I don't know. I tend on the side of optimism. When I look at this group, I think there's a lot of talent there. Injuries could again play a role. We don't know what kind of team they're going to have once they roll out of here and head to New York at the end of the month. But I look around the rest of the division, and while I think it's going to be a competitive division, I don't really see any other teams that necessarily scare me all that much. You know, I mean, the Reds will be good, no question. They're going to be hungry. They're a young team that got a taste of it last year and kind of ran out of gas. That they should be in it if they're able to stay healthy. As far as the Cardinals and the Cubs, I don't know. I mean, Cubs added Bellinger. The Cardinals added a bunch of old pitchers. So, like, are they going to be healthy? Are they going to really contribute? I don't know. The Pirates should be better. I think they could be much better. They got O'Neill Cruz back. They've got a couple other young guys in the pipeline. Henry Davis looks like he's going to be good. And they've got a couple of ex-Brewers with Rowdy and Yasmani Grandal. Maybe they got some left in the tank. So I just think it's going to be an interesting race overall in the NL Central this year, and it's going to be fun to watch. And, of course, we all have the first games against the Cubs circled in the regular season. I will say that the game in Maryvale last week was quite disappointing, pretty much.
What a dud!
You wouldn't have even known Craig Counsell was there. I mean, it was smattering of a few boos, and that was really it. It was much ado about nothing. I'm sure it'll be much different in the regular season when they play those games in Milwaukee the first time. But it should be fun. It should be fun to watch. And to me, if I'm a Brewer fan or a baseball fan, this season should be a lot of fun to watch unfold because of all the unknowns. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know how the starting pitching is going to fare. We don't know what young players are going to excel. We don't know what young players we're going to see from month to month. We could see a bunch of these prospects come up and play really big roles. That would excite me if I was a fan. So I say just kind of let it all play out and see where the chips fall at the end. And, you know, if the Brewers are competitive, I would certainly expect them to do what they've done in the past and try to add at the deadline. If they fall out of it and it becomes apparent that they're not going to compete for a playoff spot, then they're going to have to trade Willy Adames. Maybe they entertain the possibility of trading Devin Williams.
Yeah,
and sure. You see a bunch more young guys start coming through the pipeline. So it's going to be a really interesting year this year. But I think a lot of people probably expected it was going to be a rebuild, and they've made it clear that as of right now, they don't look at it that way.
Do you think this team is done adding people? There's still a few guys out there. I don't know if any of them are necessarily people that the Brewers would sign, but I guess it's possible. In the past, Jackie Bradley Jr. is a good example. Andrew McCutchen, they've added guys pretty late in the game. Do you think that's still on the table for Milwaukee?
Yeah, they're always kicking the tires on guys. And, if it's not necessarily an add next, in the next few days or something like that, I would almost guarantee them adding a bullpen arm once rosters start to get cut down and a team, punts a guy that they like. I can almost guarantee that there will be one, if not two guys on the opening day roster that is not even here right now. That almost always happens. So, but as far as like big names or anything like that, like anybody who's holding out hope of Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery on one of these deals, like these other Boris guys have been signing, I wouldn't hold my breath for that for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally either. The Blake Snell thing, I guess, maybe if Miley's out, the guys you mentioned, like that they don't have a ton of clear-cut starting options, I could see them try one of those, pillow contracts where it's reasonable and it opts out after every year. But you're right. I certainly would not be planning on that if I were a Brewers fan. What else, Todd? That's all I've got. Anything else that you want to throw in here? I know this is the falling action for you in Arizona. What else has struck your fancy?
I don't know. I mean, I can just throw out a few things. Every year, the complex in Maryvale opened in 2019. I've been doing this long enough now that I spent many years over at the old Maryvale, and I've run into other writers, other team officials, people who have said the same thing, that the Brewers have the best complex in the Cactus League by far. Mm. Now, is it in the greatest neighborhood? No. But once you get on the campus and you see what is there, what is offered to the players, it's amazing. It's really amazing. And we've talked about how Mark Adonazio and the ownership group spends its money. I think it was like $65 million or something like that for all the improvements in the additions there. 100% worth that investment. To put that money in, because it's something that will help draw players to the Brewers. I know it already has, and I know it will continue to do so, because word travels amongst players and guys, speak well of the Brewers organization, and they'll tell guys, hey, it's a great setup. If you live in Arizona, you want to go, you want to play there. Even if you don't, it's a great place to spend 6 weeks. And as a fan, as a media member covering the team, you can walk from one end of the complex to the other in 5 minutes. Everything is that close together, which is a rarity. A lot of complexes, you have to hop in a car, you have to hop on a golf cart to get from here to there. Everything is there. Everything is immaculately taken care of. And it's really, to be able to cover the Brewers in that sort of setup is really amazing. And it's something that I don't take for granted, thinking back to what things were like in the old days, so that to me is something that I don't think a lot of fans really understand or notice, but it does have an effect, an overall positive effect on the organization. Selfishly, this has been easily the best weather spring since I've been down here. Nice. Last year was horrible. Last year was beyond horrible. Cold, windy, rainy, cloudy. Now, again, I know people don't feel bad back in Wisconsin, although I know that, the weather has been kind of crazy there this year and warm and stuff. 60s. But yeah, usually it's not like that, obviously. But this year, every day so far, it's been 75 to 80, sunny, blue sky. It's been awesome. So that's been pretty cool. Like I talked about before, watching the prospects has been fun. It's a good clubhouse. All the guys have been tremendous to work with and talk to. It's been a lot of fun to finally meet and talk with some of these guys that I've been writing about, some of these prospects for the last few years. I think they're going to be good to deal with moving forward in the future. Murph has been tremendous to deal with. I've really enjoyed getting to know Ricky Weeks again, after covering him as a player. much different as a coach now, associate manager. This is a guy that really commands respect from the players. You know, these are guys that know what Ricky Weeks accomplished as a player, and, you know, no nonsense guy. I think he's really going to be a good fit in this new role. Trying to think if there's anything else. Awesome apartment I have this year. Kurt will be nice. Enjoying this soon enough. Yeah. Got a nice, beautiful view of downtown Phoenix here.
That is a good view.
Yeah. This is pretty cool, man. I have to admit.
People have to watch this apartment on YouTube. That's a good view.
Definitely the best apartment we've had in my time covering the team. So that's been pretty cool too. And I've got some good stuff in the can here that I'll be able to kind of knock out once I get back to Milwaukee and Kurt takes the baton from me here. So it's been a productive, positive, enjoyable three weeks for me down here, 3+ weeks. And, I'll take a little bit of a breather when I get home, finish up that UWM season for however long it goes. And then, it's off to New York at the end of the month for opening day. So it'll be here before we know it.
You did mention a couple guys that I'm really interested to know their career trajectory. Luis Lara, who's made a couple great diving catches in center field. He's a shorter guy. I think he's like 5'9", but he's interesting. You know, he keeps moving up. He keeps hitting. He keeps playing defense. And I think at some point he's certainly worked his way high enough on the prospect food chain where you expect to see him at some point in his career in Milwaukee. And I'm just interested to see how that goes. And you mentioned Yofiri Rodriguez at the very beginning. I don't even have enough evidence to be as irrationally excited as I am about him as I am, but I feel like if there is a massive breakout potential in the minors this year, that's the guy to watch. So I am keeping an eye on that guy as well.
Yeah. And don't sleep on Cooper Pratt either. You know, read that story that absolutely I wrote. Not. If you haven't already, I mean, he's a strapping young lad. He's, 6'4", 195, very athletic. I love his attitude, and he comes from a baseball family. I mean, there's a huge lineage there. And he's also got connections to Pat Murphy as well through his uncle. So, that's a guy, too, that I know the Brewers gave him 4 times slot to sign him, and they were able to get him into the fold. And, whether he sticks at shortstop at his size in the long term remains to be seen, but there certainly will be a place somewhere on the field for him defensively, assuming he hits the way everybody thinks he can. So, again, ton to be excited about if you're a Brewer fan. You just got to be patient. You know, the first wave is up now. Next wave is coming, and then you've got those guys like Lara and Rodriguez and Pratt in the pipeline. Along with some more pitching too, and it's going to be fun. They're well positioned to be competitive for a long time.
Didn't even say the name Jacob Mizorowski yet, but that's somebody to look forward to at some point.
Yeah, there's another one too that's been fun watching him. That inning that he pitched yesterday, Saturday against the Dodgers, very impressive. 3 strikeouts, and he did not look like a deer in the headlights. I watched some of his bullpens. You can see the command is going to be spotty. That's going to always be the challenge, I think, with him, unless he can really fine-tune those mechanics. But he's got just ridiculous stuff. And as he works his way up and gets himself into that mix, I certainly would think that he would break in as a bullpen arm first and then maybe work his way toward the rotation from there. But, I mean, think if he got up to the majors this year, and you'd have Abner Uribe and Cy Miz there back to back, and the seventh and eighth innings or something like that, and then you go to Devin Williams, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, that could be very fun. He is Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Todd Rosiak. Check out everything he has at jsonline.com. That includes, as he mentioned at the outset, that feature on DL Hall on Monday. If you're listening to us on Monday, jsonline.com. Thank you, Todd, for joining us. Safe travels back, and we will chat with you again very soon.
JR, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Take care, everybody.
Take care.